The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls, one ginger.
Hello.
Did you like that little musical rendition?
Beautiful.
Yeah.
You have a beautiful singing voice.
I don't.
You don't. No, she doesn't. You
guys, voice can be beautiful.
No, not mine.
You grimaced when I said that. He goes,
mine's not.
Well, you know, last week when we were talking about like what traits you inherit from each parent, like I definitely inherited my mom's voice, which is absolutely horrendous.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, May.
It's pretty bad. She knows.
You can't have it all.
And there's auto-tune.
Yeah.
You don't have to suck anymore.
Remember when we did karaoke and Jared sang what song did you sing? Friends in Low Places?
Yeah.
He has a good voice and he doesn't think he does.
You have a good voice.
It's okay.
We can also all practice and get better.
I did do singing classes when I was a kid.
I did too, and my voice was good. And then I stopped and my voice sucked.
Mine was pretty bad.
We can literally go on YouTube and practice and you can get your range.
It's only up from here.
It is only no, but Jared, he doesn't like to admit that he has a decent singing voice. It's like a low country kind of vibe.
If you come to a
because
show,
he's in the music scene. He's not going to say, I see why you don't do it. I see why you downplay it, but you shouldn't.
If you come to a show and you see me singing backups, just know
the mic is off.
I'm drunk.
I love that though.
And the mic is off.
Because, yeah.
The mic is low, so you can barely hear him, but like you can tell Jared's drunkenness with how much he's on that mic.
Yeah, how much is he headbanging?
And you know what I always wonder, Jared? So you and Garrett, their bassist, share a mic because Garrett actually does do backing vocals and you kind of jump on. And they both kind of like sing on either side of the mic, like at each other.
Friendship.
That's not gross for you?
It sucks. Not for me.
I just don't like anybody that close to me talking.
He's fine. His breath is fine. It's all good. But like, in my mind, I'm always wondering, like, is this your breath bad? Is this painful for him?
Yeah. Because it looks painful.
I don't think either of us actually care.
Yeah. But I'd worry.
Anytime we're both right up on it, I don't really notice. And even if I did, I wouldn't.
Have you ever almost kissed?
Oh yeah. we've kissed. Yeah. Many times.
Yeah. Jared had this whole thing where he posted pictures of him smooching every band member.
I kissed every single guy in the band when we were on Warped and I'd put a photo up like every weekend.
That was actually right when we started dating.
The big kisses.
Friendshipless.
Were you jealous?
Yeah. Well, but like thinking about how he sings on the mic reminds me of actors. Like, you know, like a lot of time actors have to get very close to each other when they're filming scenes.
They have to have fake sex with each other.
It's not even that. It's not the fake sex. It's just being so close to somebody and you are smelling their breath. Like you're right on top of them.
Yeah, they're probably doing mouthwash.
Gross that is.
There's just so much.
When you can see little droplets spit, like
it's for a dramatic effect.
There's just so much else going on that it's the last thing on my mind.
Oh, see, that's the first thing on my mind.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, you're not a narcissist, so you're worried. Like, narcissists aren't worried about how people feel around them. They're just worried about them being comfortable.
Yeah.
And that's why you're not, because you're like, well, is everyone else okay?
I'm like, is somebody like really not enjoying my breath right now?
Yeah, that's because you're.
Did I get a droplet?
Considerate.
A micro droplet of.
So you're saying
saliva?
I'm safe.
You're safe. You're
not
good.
A narcissist.
No. Well, she was actually saying that about me.
Oh.
But this goes along
you
with
don't
you
care.
Too. I think you care.
I care.
Yeah.
I would say Jared's the furthest thing from a narcy.
Thank you.
You are.
Right back at both of you.
Sweetie pie over here.
Yeah.
Before we start today's episode, obviously I have to remind you of Patreon. If you want more true crime, first degree content, we have episodes over there. One
so
a week.
So many.
A new a week. You can have first degree 3 times a week if you join us on Patreon.
I mean, if you're an addict, that's the place. That's
I
the
counted. Place. I think there's 100 million.
100 million episodes.
Episodes.
Dude, you know what's crazy?
What?
When I was watching Lost back in the day, I binged it. And so I had like a hashtag I'd use on Twitter called No Sleep, Just Lost.
Mm.
And I like tallied up how long it would take you to watch Lost, like from front to back. I think it was like 26 days or something like that.
What?
Without stopping, no sleep, just
waste
Lost.
Waste of time.
Shut up.
No, Lost was good.
Get all the way to the end and then just have them blow it.
I don't
it.
Care. I loved it so much. Doesn't matter
we've,
about the
we've
ending.
We've talked about this before.
I know. Anyways, I'm just thinking, I wonder how many hours concurrently of first three episodes there are
so
out there.
So many.
You could probably listen to us for months.
Yeah. So you know what I realized?
Great
months.
You know what I
no
realized?
Sleep, just first degree.
This is excluding Patreon. So on the main feed of episodes that we've aired, that includes our Wednesday episodes and then our Thursday Killing Times. I think we're around 435 wow. aired episodes.
Wow. Insane.
Isn't that crazy?
That's so
yes.
Many.
Yeah.
That's...
I'm tired just thinking about
that's
that.
That's one a day.
Yeah.
More
forever.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Anyways. All right. But if you want more, there's always more.
Wow.
Yep.
You want more, I'll give you more.
That's
like
right.
That girl on TikTok.
Yep.
All right. Should we get into today's date?
Yeah. What's the deal?
Maybe.
It's February 15th.
Oh, Valentine's Day was yesterday.
Day after Valentine's Day.
We had such a good Valentine's Day.
Bullshit. But, you know.
You don't believe in Valentine's Days?
I mean, I do. Like, we go out to dinner sometimes. But, like, I just think it's just another day.
Every
to
day
hike
should be
up
like
the
Valentine's
prices.
Day.
Did we do Nobu last year for Valentine's?
Yes.
I don't want to say what I did.
Jared had to buy a reservation at Nobu.
From who?
From what was the guy's
name?
His name
was like Sergio something. But
what do you mean?
I've been trying to take Jack to Nobu in Malibu forever, and I'm not famous enough to go there.
Yes, you
so,
are.
No, he's not.
No, I'm not. And so I found a website where you could buy someone's reservation off of them.
It's so fucked up.
So I paid for someone's reservation and then I took Jack to Nobu. And then I had to tell the guy at the door that my name was Sergio.
Goodness.
Mm. We got in though and it was a great meal.
No, it was great. But like the website's insane. Like people, but that, it's like you could totally not scam people, but like... It's like scalping tickets. Like you can scalp reservations and then sell them at a hiked up price to people.
But then the website, there's no way to turn off their auto emails. There's
so
no
you're
way to
still
do
getting
it.
Sergio's emails.
For life.
Yeah. You are
no,
Sergio.
No. It's
no,
an account.
No, just about the place. What is it called? Like a
I'm not saying,
appointmentsdealer.com
nope,
or something?
We're not going to give them any publicity.
Okay.
Here.
Well, it wasn't great publicity anyways.
Yeah. Don't do what I did. Just go somewhere where you can just make a
get
rest.
It. Anyways, hope you guys had a good Valentine's Day or not. Like, you know, or you had
it's
a good
not
day.
Really a thing.
It's not a thing. Anyways, February 15th, 1758, mustard, the condiment, was first advertised for sale in America by Benjamin Jackson in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Yo, Ben.
That was the day that life began.
Oh, I love mustard.
The life, like a hot dog's life, a burger's life. I think mustard.
Sandy. Do we know if it was a yellow mustard, like an American yellow mustard?
No. I bet you it was like a ground mustard
even
seed.
Even better.
Like a truer mustard.
Even better. Give me a spoon.
No, I need the yellow.
Mustard really changed the deviled egg, too. I really want to.
Truly did.
Flag that.
Mustard changes everything.
Can we talk about a mustard fried burger? Like when
what's
you go animal style?
Fried burger.
Animal style.
Oh, yeah. If you go animal style at In-N-Out, they fry the patty in mustard.
I did not know that.
Oh, dude.
But
it's
I don't
amazing.
Hate it.
That's what makes it so good.
Oh, so good.
February 15th is called Remember the Main Day.
Hey. Whoa. Well, it's a sad day because a ship blew up.
Oh, how did you know that?
What? Because I'm in a band called The Main, and if you Google us, that comes up first.
Oh, it is?
Uh-oh.
Oh, well, that happened today in 1898.
Damn.
Yeah,
that ship
sinking
blew up.
Of a battleship.
Yep.
Sparked the Spanish-American War and is considered to be one of the causes of the beginning of World War I.
Oopsie daisy.
Not a great day.
No.
Sucks. Ouch.
Ow.
All right. Okay. This is my mini deep dive for the day.
I love this.
Do you guys know the history of the teddy bear?
I'd like to know. Is it Teddy Roosevelt?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
I knew that, but I don't know anything else about it.
That's all I got, yeah.
Okay, 1903 is when the teddy bear was invented.
Mm-hmm.
So it all started when Theodore Roosevelt was on a hunting trip.
Mm.
And they were all hunting big game, like assholes. We don't support that at all. And he couldn't find a bear. So some of his assistants found a bear and they tied it up against a tree. And they were like, here's your bear, President Roosevelt. Like, you can go and shoot it. And he didn't shoot it, but he didn't shoot it because he liked the bear. He didn't shoot it because it was like unsportsmanlike or something.
I'm going to have to agree.
Like kind of a pussy way of a kill.
Yeah. I mean, that's not a, listen, if you're into big game hunting, which I would never be.
No.
The idea of killing an animal tied to a tree, it's just, I think that defeats the purpose. And what's really interesting, I'm from New York. I've mentioned that obviously a gazillion times. We went to a place, a class field trip called Sagamore Hill, which was one of Teddy Roosevelt's houses in New York.
Yeah.
And it was like filled with game. Like they had, he had like a trash can, which was like a foot of an elephant. Like everything was made from a piece of an animal. Like, so I knew that about him.
Yeah.
Like animal heads everywhere.
Whoa.
Big game hunter. And it was like one of his properties that we toured at. Like that's a museum now.
Holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It reminds me of, is it Ace Ventura? Where he's in like the safari guy's like place, and it's like filled with like, but it's like, he's like a villain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same kind of thing. So then word gets around that he didn't want to shoot this bear. And so a political cartoonist, because it's 1903.
I actually love that he didn't. Thankfully.
I mean, he would have shot it if he found it himself.
But he didn't. So he didn't.
So there, that bear
lived.
At
least he has some integrity.
I don't know if that's integrity. I think it was more so like ego, and he didn't want to look like a pussy.
It would have been pussy move.
Clifford Berryman, a political cartoonist, read an article because there was an
coincidence
article.
That his name is Berryman?
Oh.
Little bear man.
Oh my God. Why does this keep happening?
It's berry man, like a berry.
Still.
I know, but berry man. Mm. Okay. There is articles going around. He read the article about Theodore Roosevelt not shooting the bear and decided to lightheartedly satirize the president's refusal to shoot the bear. So he did this cartoon, and it's basically like, I should have brought it up, but the cartoon's basically like him leaving the bear in the background, and it makes him look like he cares about the bear.
Yeah.
Which he doesn't, but whatever. And so Morris Mictum, a Brooklyn candy shop owner, saw the cartoon and he had an idea. He and his wife Rose also made stuffed animals. So they decided to create a stuffed toy bear and dedicate it to the president who refused to shoot the bear. And they called it the Teddy Bear.
Aww.
So kind of like through the grapevine of things happening, him refusing to shoot a bear now gives us the teddy bear that we all
love.
But let's not forget, still a huge big game hunter.
Yeah, will kill anything.
He probably shot many other bears.
House full of dead animals.
Yeah. House full of dead animals. So
what a dick.
I thought that was a good wrinkle in my brain.
Oh, that's
it
a great
absolutely
wrinkle.
Is.
A sorry for saying wrinkle.
Why?
Because Facebook doesn't it. Like it when we say wrinkle in your brain.
Oh, I like it.
Sorry, Facebook.
I forgot about that. Okay, 1946, the ENIAC. The first electronic general purpose computer was formally dedicated at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. 1946, the first computer.
Early. Guess how big it was.
It's like 80 years ago. Huge.
Massive.
Wasn't it like the size of rooms?
Probably had like a key ignition on it or something.
But I'm not surprised because, you know, Nikola Tesla died in 1943.
Mm.
So 46, obviously.
How did you know that?
For my research for my deep dive today.
Oh, whoa!
I was like, there's no way that's just a random fact, you know?
Your eyes like rolled back and you just like had this like incredible like detailed fact.
Well, World War II was going on in 1943, around 1946.
That.
And they were trying to, futurize warfare. Mm. So it doesn't surprise me. Like Tesla, when he died, was apparently working on a death ray. In 43.
Well,
so computers, at least very basic computers, had to be components.
And there
point.
Was also possibly, some help from some extraterrestrial beings during that time.
Oh, okay.
Foo Fighters and stuff like that. Well, reverse engineering, all that kind of stuff.
Anything's possible.
Anything is possible until it's not.
I'm dying on no hill. Convince me. I'm open.
I'm dying on no hill.
Zero hill.
That is so true.
Mm-hmm.
That's my real until proven fake.
Yeah.
Yes, real well, until proven fake.
I believe you, unless I see something else.
And even if I see it.
Contrasting in my own personal experience. Even a video I won't believe.
No.
Could be fake.
No, you know it was a video? The moon landing. That was a video.
Possible. Real until proven fake.
We all know.
Hey, debrief me after this and I'll probably be a believer.
Isn't it better to just believe everything?
No, I mean, that's ignorance is bliss. which is nice.
Yeah.
Well, it's unfortunate that our information sources are so unreliable that we've had to be, it's hard to have conviction about anything.
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, you've been betrayed so many times by our government and our education. And
then you just start questioning
agendas.
But I told Jack, my goal for this year is to be an oblivious person.
Me too.
It's so hard to do. But if you look around you, all the, not all.
You'll get no fights with anyone.
A lot of really oblivious people are super successful in their lives.
And happy.
Yeah.
Because nothing's holding
nothing
you back.
Nothing's weighing them down.
Nothing's holding you back. You're oblivious. You're just like dancing through life, like not thinking about the small things, not thinking about how you're affecting other people. You're oblivious.
Yeah, it's nice.
I want to try that.
I wouldn't know by personal experience, but it looks nice.
It looks great.
Something
I want
to
be oblivious.
I hope to achieve to it.
We'll
I hope to achieve that.
Anyways.
I don't think we're achieving that.
No.
I think we're just born with it.
Yeah.
Okay. 1950. Disney's Cinderella cartoon feature opened in theaters, and it was one of the best films of the year, blah, blah, blah. Re-released several times, 1957, 1965, 73, 81, and 87, and then never since then. I thought that was interesting.
Hmm.
Re-released 37 years ago, and never again.
I think that's enough.
That's fine.
We've had enough.
I don't need a remastered version of that.
No, I mean, listen, I wouldn't watch it, but
you will when you have a kid.
Wait,
yeah.
So Disney, didn't they do that thing when we were growing up where like movies would come out and then they would go away and then they would come out and then they would go away?
Yeah, re-release.
Or a limited release.
What's up with that?
Oh, the same movie?
Yeah.
Would they put it in theaters? Oh, yeah.
Because there's new rounds of kids that are going to go watch it.
No, I think it was on the VHS sales. Like, you could only buy them at certain points.
Probably because they were doing somebody the out old there, version of, like, drops, limited drops.
Supply and demand.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Disney was doing, like, sneaker drops with their movies.
Really?
Well, it was before you could get anything online.
That's true.
That's smart, though, because you do different versions of it, and all these collectors are going to buy every single one of them.
I think that's what it was. Remember they came in those, like, foam... It was like a foam VHS cover. Like they had their VHS sleeves looked cooler than everybody else's. Mm-hmm. They had this
they had like puffy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of drops, well, this isn't really drops, but things that are valuable. I saw a clip, I think it was from Pawn Stars.
Of the Princess Diana Bear. We're on the same fucking exact.
Oh, you guys are both dialed in.
We're on the same exact TikTok
algorithm. The
Princess
Diana Beanie Baby, he was bringing it to a pawn shop to get it appraised. And he was like, I've been told that this is worth like $5,000 to $7,000.
The buildup of this clip was so good. And he made it seem like he was going to make like $100 million.
And wasn't the guy like, this is worth a dollar?
Yeah, because he's like, look, there's a space here, which means it was a mistake on the tag.
A misprint.
Yeah. And then like, he's like, oh, so it's even more rare. And they're like,
holy
yeah.
shit.
And then he's like, $1 maybe.
$1. Bummer.
God, dude.
Anybody with that Princess Diana Beanie Baby thinks that they could literally buy a house with that money.
That's right.
Oh. I miss it.
Some stuff works, some stuff doesn't.
All right, the last two dates, 1992, Jeffrey Dahmer was sentenced to life in prison on this day.
Wow.
And then 2005, YouTube was activated online.
Wow.
Which is the beginning
monumental.
Of some kind of an end.
YouTube?
Yes. Yes, the YouTube.
The YouTube.com.
It's crazy how much shit is on YouTube. I literally learn how to do everything that I know.
If I have any question, that's where I go.
Yeah.
YouTube University.
Oh my God.
Crazy.
Incredible.
All right. Well, those are your days today.
Woo.
When we come back, we're going to send some people to jail.
Yep.
Goodbye.
When I was growing up, I took French in high school, but I could never get the language to stick. I wanted to be fluent so bad, but it never happened. I just couldn't focus and I couldn't practice enough and it didn't work. But thankfully, there's Rosetta Stone, which is the most trusted language learning program, and it's available on desktop or it can be used as an app on your phone or tablet. Rosetta Stone is different. It immerses you in so many ways, and with its intuitive process, you can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, and then sentences, and before you know it, boom, conversations. Plus, with Rosetta Stone's true accent feature, you'll get feedback on how well you're pronouncing words. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, the First Degree listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/first. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/first today. Hey, there's no reason to feel sad or guilty about the things you aren't using anymore. whether it was a fancy dress you wore to a gala, expensive heels that only go with one of your outfits, or that crossbody bag from when you were in your music festival era. Somebody out there wants what you don't, and the real world makes it easy to get it to them. When your past becomes their future, everyone wins, especially the planet. For The RealReal, Earth Month isn't just another month. It's what they do every day. At any given moment, they're finding new homes for over 1 million unique items within their community of 35 plus million people. They're the largest luxury reseller in the world and making a tangible difference towards a more sustainable future for fashion. Resale reduces the amount of fashion waste in landfills, lowers greenhouse gas emissions, and offers an alternative to the cycle of consumption propagated by fast fashion. The RealReal has kept over 37 million items in circulation and out of landfills. This month only, new shoppers get 20% off when they shop on TheRealReal.com using code FIRST. That's TheRealReal.com using the code FIRST.
Okay, welcome to Straight to Jail. We're throwing some people, some things to jail that we just don't really like.
Yeah,
this week.
Yep, off the streets, out of our heads, out of sight,
out of mind.
You know, we're going to be judge, jury, executioner.
All right, Lex, do you want to go first?
No,
you don't.
I can go first.
Jared, you go first.
Mine's a person.
Okay.
Mine is a specific person.
All right, who's your person?
It's a guy. Only Jack and I know this guy.
Okay.
He's one of our, remember how we have like recurring suspects, like
NPCs.
Yeah, NPCs
around our, okay, so yeah. This guy, we call him Vaccine Guy.
Yeah.
And Vaccine Guy goes to Starbucks every morning, like between, if you go to the one by us, between like 8 and 10 a.m., he's there.
He's there along with the old like Miss Maisel lady.
So Vaccine Guy sets up shop right in front of the entrance. So he's outside at a table and he's got different shirts. He's got like one for each day of the week, but they all say what it's something about like
an anti-vax shirt.
Yeah
it's like it's, the government is blah blah blah.
Every one of his shirts is like this.
They're all the exact same vaccine print but a different color.
Vaccines wow. some of them are
crew necks, but like it
oh, it's actually it, a cool design.
It is a cool design.
If I was into it,
like, and okay. I honestly, one way or the other, I don't really give a shit, but
he's trying to recruit people. He has his like little like notebook. He has his binder.
He's there to make friends.
He is there to make
to
friends.
Spread the gospel.
He's playing something on his boombox, his little mini boombox. Like he's there to cause
a presence.
Scene. Yes. He's recruiting.
He's a presence. So my beef is not with any of that. What happened was we were in a parking space, right?
Yes.
And I was going in, I got the coffee. He, I saw him on my way in. I was like, oh yeah, there he is, whatever. And I left. I'm backing out of my parking space. The car bot directly behind me, facing the back of our Jeep, has backed into their spot, okay? So they can, when they want to leave, they can just pull right out. I am reversing, and I'm pretty far into the reverse. The person behind me decides, no, I'm going to leave first, and starts to come out of their spot towards me quickly. And I see it, and so I freak out, and I, like, throw it back in drive and, like, get out of their way because they're about to hit the back of the Jeep.
They're going at it head-to-head.
Uh-oh.
This is not two cars reversing into each other. This is one car reversing and then another car just gunning it at the back of my car, right? I look in the rearview mirror, and it's Vaccine Guy.
Uh-oh.
It's fucking Vaccine
it
Guy.
It broke through your normal Matrix interactions.
It did.
He did.
He
and
was
he's,
not expecting
we're not
vaccine
supposed
guy
to interact
up.
With each other. No. I observe you. You don't know I exist. That's how this works. It's transactional.
Yeah, he's like he's a plant.
But he is stepped real. Way over the line.
Wow.
And he almost crashed into the back of the Jeep the other day. But if Jack got a kick out of it because I was like, it's Vaccine Guy.
He's like, it's fucking Vaccine Guy. Like it was like his mortal enemy. He's like, of course, it's Vaccine Guy.
I'm stunned.
So he climbed out of his program that he was in. He's now outside the Matrix, and I don't know. We had an interaction. So,
did he hurt you?
He didn't hurt me, but almost. He came close, and he was really aggressive. Like, and he had a weird blank look in his face, like
not real.
Yeah, he's a hologram.
I want
him
arrested. I liked it better when I could just watch him, and he didn't
We've never seen him leave the one table that he sits at. So it was very weird to see him out of character.
Jeez. I thought he was just part of the setting there.
Yeah.
Right. But he's not. He drives.
Wow.
I found that out.
Yeah.
So I want him gone. I want him off the streets.
Yeah, he goes to jail.
I'm gonna take him to jail.
Okay, I think that's fair.
Okay.
Off to jail. Let's say he gets house arrest.
Okay.
Oh, house arrest is good. But he can stay outside of the house at Starbucks, just in his little area.
Vaccine guy. Get out of here.
Vaccine guy. Yeah.
Okay, I'm putting a citizen's arrest on a pair of pants I have.
Whoa.
So I'm going back to December. Jared was playing shows in New York City, and I got this really fucking cute outfit.
Okay.
They were silver pants. Like, they almost had like a fish scaly print. No, it was a crocodile. Crocodile like print.
Mermaid.
Silver crocodile print pants with a matching little crop top. They were so cute. They have like a whole theme for their
show. I remember this.
Like it's silver disco stars, ball. Disco balls. And I was like, it's right on theme. I'm so excited to wear this. Been waiting for like a month. So we go to their show and we're like hanging out backstage and all this kind of stuff. And I keep getting this like whiff of fish.
Uh-oh.
Something smells fishy.
A fish whiff.
No. And like other people were kind of getting the whiff too. And I'm like, what is that? Like, does somebody have like a something going on? Like, is there like some old
tuna sandwich
food
here?
In here? Like, does somebody have really bad breath? Like, I could not
fishy breath.
It was rank.
Was someone's cat there?
It was rank.
Uh oh.
And it wasn't until I go to sit down on Jared's lap that the pants, like, they were baggy.
They were the pants.
They had like air pockets in them. And when I sat down, all the air kind of like came up through the waist of my pants and into my nose. It was the fucking fish pants.
What was wrong with them?
They just reeked like fish.
Fish
and everybody
pants.
Smelt me and probably didn't want to tell me because they thought that's how he smelt.
Yeah, she was stinky all night.
I was so stinky.
Wait, is it because it was like a synthetic fabric?
I think so.
Oh, goodness.
I think it was like a cheap fabric that.
Oh no!
Stunk of
Did
fish.
You throw them away?
Yes.
Goodbye.
They were so cute too, and it was a smell that won't get out.
She definitely smelled of the ocean.
Okay.
It was like not even like a nice fish. Like it was not like
not
you
like a delicious
sushi.
Salmon.
No, like
no it was like fish that you would smell like at the ocean if like a few too many died.
Do you know where you got those pants? Let's call them out.
Yeah. No, because I like the brand.
Damn it.
Unfortunately,
can't win them all, you know.
But man, those fish pants.
Get them out of here.
Tell somebody. Well, it's like, yeah, I would have liked somebody to tell me if
the pants go to jail.
The pants go to jail.
Straight to jail.
They're gone forever. Lock them up.
Yep.
Yeah. Your turn.
Okay. So recently something's been going on in my neighborhood.
Uh-oh.
It's an important thing. So Matt is basically the mayor of the neighborhood. If he sees something, he takes a photo. He sends it to 311. He gets it handled. Like he's dialed in with all the services for Hollywood. Like, oop, there's a couch here someone dumped. I'll have it gone in 10 minutes. Like,
wow. Yeah, amazing.
He's really all over it. So what we're dealing with now is like a graffiti problem.
Ooh, okay.
The problem is, it's like we know who's doing it.
Oh.
Oh.
And we're in like a little cat and mouse game with them.
Okay.
So they're, I guess people who do graffiti for gangs, they're super low on the totem pole in the gang. Like, so their little job is to go like tag to like identify your territory. I don't know.
They're the mailroom.
This guy is like wearing a hoodie and a backpack, and we see him on our street, and I'm like, I know it's him.
Yeah.
What are we gonna do about it? So like, go walk Bosley near him. Like, we're like, should we confront him? Like, should we tell
Probably
him no?
Not.
No.
No. That's exactly right. But that's what Matt says. He's like, you don't want him to know who we are.
Yeah. You just don't
like,
confront
okay. So
anybody.
We need to get like a BB gun from our roof.
Whoa.
BB guns aren't gun guns or a paintball gun. Something.
Paintball gun.
Paintball gun.
Paintball
gun.
Right. I mean, it's.
Can fuck you up.
It is assault either way.
Oh. Is it not assault to be graffitiing the neighborhood?
It is an artistic assault, yes.
Oh.
He should go straight to jail.
Okay.
And this cat and mouse game must persist.
Yeah.
And it must have an outcome.
Can I make
feedback.
A suggestion? Can I make
the cat and mouse game of it all.
Can I make a suggestion?
What?
Because I'm hearing...
Trip him as
I'm
he
hearing
walks?
BB gun. I'm hearing paintball. You don't need any of that. Here's what you need.
Water balloon.
Yes.
Is that what you were going to say?
You need a Rubbermaid bin full of water balloons on
See,
your
that's
roof.
That's fun.
Ready to go.
I don't think you can get in trouble for water
no,
ballooning people.
No, you cannot.
People.
Well, you... Technically, right, but... What is he gonna call the police? Be like, I was defacing public private property,
no,
and now I'm all wet.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. I think the water balloon is your way to go because
yes.
He can't call. He can't like get you guys in trouble.
But what can I put in the water balloon besides water?
Oh,
you gotta be careful. My
food coloring.
Oh, yeah, of course. You read food coloring.
Milk.
Something gross and inconvenient.
Milk.
But not painful. I'm not trying to hurt anyone.
You know what would suck? Olive oil.
Ooh.
That would suck.
Tar. And feathers.
All right, well, that's... Now we're getting back towards
you shoot it, and then you like drop the feathers, and they like yeah. We're getting back towards
you
cover.
Getting in trouble.
Okay.
I think olive oil would be great. It's
just so annoying. It's like everyone's working really hard to make our neighborhood nice. Like people are doing gardens on the sidewalks. Like everyone's making it really nice, and this fuck.
Yeah.
And I walk by him. I'm like, I know what you're gonna do in a second, and yep. I can't stop him.
Yep.
You can stop him now. Water balloons
with jail.
Milk.
Jail and milk balloons.
Milk balloons.
Milk
too.
Balloons, huh? All right.
We all agree. Straight to jail, though, right?
Straight to jail.
Yeah.
Bye.
See ya.
Okay. Well, when we come back, Alexis is doing a little deep dive.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for all of your springtime goals. If you don't have time, Factor's ready-to-eat meals are on the table in 2 minutes. So you just get to eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, cleaning up. You really just heat and savor the good stuff without all of the stress. You can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. Plus, you can pause and reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution to premium, fast meals without the need for cooking. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. I'm so busy, so it's amazing to just have Factor meals in the fridge for whenever I realize that I'm starving and I don't have any time to cook anything. They're amazing, they're healthy, and they keep you fueled all day long. Head to factormeals.com/degree50 and use code degree50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month. That's degree50 at factormeals.com/degree50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
What you got?
Okay, welcome to Down the Rabbit Hole or whatever we're calling this segment. Alexis has found something on the internet that I thought was very interesting. We're going to do a little deep dive.
And this might be perfect for our paranoid or paranormal. It's kind of like conspiracy or...
Okay.
Or...
It has to do with time travel.
Yes.
Where does it land from like ancient aliens to like Bigfoot?
You know what? I'll tell you exactly where it lands. It lands on Simpsons predicting the future.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
She's not wrong. Okay. Yeah. All right. So we're going to start. Here, I'll tell you the name of my document. Tesla, time travel, and Trump.
Ooh. Whoa. Ooh,
I love
this. This is the most organized thing I've ever done for
I'm
killing
captivated.
Time.
Let's go.
Yeah. Okay. First, I'm going to introduce you to Lockwood Ingersoll.
Okay.
Who was an American political writer and novelist who wrote a children's book titled Barron Trump's Marvelous Underground Journey.
Do you know how big Barron Trump is as an aside?
As a little boy?
No, he's like 6'6".
As a full grown adult, he's massive, but he still looks like a little boy.
But he's not a full grown adult. He's still like, what is he, like 13?
Okay, well, he's like 9 feet tall.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Okay, I just saw a picture of him the other day and
he's huge.
I panicked. Go ahead.
Well, the Barron Trump in this magical children's novel is 10 years old. I'm not sure how tall he is.
And this novel was written in the
1888.
Okay, so this is far before any Trump things. Any Trumpers even existed.
So listen to this. So okay. Lockwood Ingersoll writes this book. And it tells the tale of a wealthy 10-year-old aristocratic boy who lives in the castle Trump and is guided on his journey to Russia by a man he refers to as the master of all masters, a man named Don, who lives in Fifth Avenue in New York City. He and Don travel to Russia to find a portal to a magical underground world. Barron, the book's main character, is German. And in real life, obviously, ex-President Trump, their descendants come from Germany. So it's just kind of an interesting tie-in.
Okay.
So that's weird, right?
This is very strange.
It gets weirder. So then in 1896, Lockwood Ingersoll writes another book. It's a political book called The Last President. And in the novel, the entire east side of New York City is in a state of uproar. In November, after a candidate is unexpectedly elected despite opposition to him. In the story, the mob, who's mad he got elected, plans to march to a hotel on Fifth Avenue, which is the site of where Trump Tower is today.
Yeah.
And it's the east side of New York, which is where the women's march began the day after Donald Trump's inauguration. And that was in a state of uproar at that time.
Wow.
And the women's march concluded just two blocks short of Trump Tower International on Fifth Ave. So the book says that police officers shouted through the streets as mobs of vast sizes are organizing under the lead of anarchists and socialists and threaten to plunder and despoil the houses of the rich who have wronged and oppressed them for so many years. So yeah, crazy stuff. And the marchers in real life didn't get in front of Trump Tower because of the police barricades.
Oh my God.
So the president in the book even appoints a man to his cabinet named Pence.
What?
Yes.
Insane.
Because Pence was a mentor of this fictional character president.
What?
Super weird. Yeah. And obviously another striking coincidence given that Trump's vice president was Mike Pence. Okay. So it gets really weird now.
It gets weirder?
Oh, yeah. So obviously given all of this, people are like, oh my God, these parallels. This is such a similar to the Simpsons predicting whatever.
Yeah.
But conspiracy theorists are now claiming that maybe the Trump family has a time machine and this could account for these strange similarities between this story back in the 1800s and, you know, the Trump family today. So,
which I love that theory.
Hear me out with this.
Trumps are time travelers.
Yeah.
This is insane. Keep
so listen. So at the time these novels were written, Lockwood Ingersoll and Nikola Tesla were both living in New York City at the same time. Nikola Tesla, for those who don't know, was a Siberian-American scientist, and he was an inventor, electrical engineer, mechanical engineer, physicist, and futurist. And according to conspiracy theorists, he was researching and possibly participating in time travel. So Nikola Tesla died in 1943 in his room at Manhattan's New Yorker Hotel. And as he died, it was the height of World War II. And Tesla had claimed to have invented a powerful particle beam weapon known as a death ray, like we discussed.
Yep.
So after his death, the FBI is like, we got to know about this guy's research. Like, what was he doing?
Yeah.
We don't want his research getting into the enemy hands. And he died apparently destitute, like with no money to his name because...
Classic.
Yeah, classic.
Classic artist.
That's all great artists do.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the FBI, they take control of his research and they're like, listen, we need somebody to look at all this and tell us what there is here. So they call a professor from MIT, and he's a professor in electrical engineering. And this professor's name was John Trump. John Trump was involved in radar research for the Allies in the Second World War. And clearly the FBI had enough faith in his ability to call him when they needed him, someone to review these files. He also invented several of the X-rays that were used around the time of World War, like really innovative shit.
Yeah.
So obviously this John Trump is the uncle of Donald J. Trump. Okay.
Okay.
So, which means John Trump gained access to all of Nikola Tesla's research and records.
Wait, so he's actually the real Donald Trump's?
The real Donald Trump's uncle is John Trump. And the real uncle took possession of Nikola Tesla's research.
So it's possible that at that point, the Trumps came in possession of a time travel machine.
He most definitely did take possession. He most definitely did.
Yeah.
So here's where it gets interesting. So the government takes possession of Nikola Tesla's body
stuff.
Of work.
Yeah.
But in his will, he left everything to his nephew back in Serbia. But the government was like, no.
Right.
We got to vet all this, whatever. And some of these files were released via FOIA requests in 2016.
Okay.
But a ton of shit was missing.
Yeah.
We also learned that eventually after the government like did what they wanted with these files, there were apparently 80 trunks of research. The museum in Belgrade, Serbia, where all this stuff was supposed to go for Nikola Tesla Museum, they received 60 trunks. 20 trunks have never been accounted for. Okay. So.
What the hell?
That means 20 trunks are missing.
What's up with that?
Well,
20 trunks is where all that time.
There are a lot of questions here.
What's up with that?
I know. So, okay, so apparently when John Trump gave his sort of analysis as to what Nikola Tesla had in terms of time travel and this death ray, he claimed that a lot of it was like philosophical and hypothetical.
Yeah.
But like no one can prove that. That was, you know, we don't really know. And as in, you know, I don't know who saw Oppenheimer, but like MIT, like he, who knows?
Again, it's around this time in history where there was so much like exponential progress when it came to that kind of shit. And it always was like
in competition.
In competition. And it's like, who's getting help from who? Like, how are we growing so exponentially technologically and with warfare and like all that kind of stuff there? It wouldn't surprise me. Listen, I believe anything.
Time travel would be so sick.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty wild, though.
I need to know more about this author that originally wrote this story, like his connections to
everything.
What's
interesting to me is like we're talking about a family that's worth a lot of money, and it's just such an odd element that to like consider that maybe they had an advantage.
Yes. Jack, you bring up an interesting point. So something I have here that potentially explains this outside of time travel is that Ingersoll, you know, maybe knew of the Trump family because they were back in the, you know, at this time, and they were rich, and it was like an inspiration, perhaps.
Yeah.
The specifics are a little strange, though. So say hypothetically that let's pretend there was time travel. Does this mean that the Trumps went back in time? Lockwood Ingersoll is not real, but they plant like this book. Like what is the time travel element here, do you think? Right? Like it would mean Lockwood Ingersoll is sort of a plant from the future to write this book.
Yeah.
To sort of predict, like, he already knew this is going to happen, or he already saw it.
But it's like the element of, and I forget what it's called, but it is kind of what they do what they've done in The Simpsons. And you think about it with like alien invasions and like things that the government, like say the government's involved, whatever. It's like the government is trying to get your mind accustomed to something happening and a big change that's going to happen.
Yeah.
So they plant these little seeds throughout the world and throughout pop culture or whatever it is.
Desensitize
you when it happens. Then you're like, oh, it's not as crazy because we've been seeing little green men walking around for fucking 100 years now.
Yeah.
Like, is it something like that where they're like planting this story
back there
to now get the Trump name in and to like, then it's like not as crazy when it happens. Like, yeah. I don't know.
Maybe.
I'll believe anything. I'm like,
Trump knew his uncle. In several speeches, there were like several references where he talks about it. Cause he's probably the most intelligent Trump in the family, where he was like working on nuclear technology and all these things. So I think it's fascinating.
That's crazy.
I love any coincidence like that. That's crazy. I mean, that the names that are that spot on is,
well, it goes even deeper. I won't bore you, but it goes even deeper because they talk about how the surrogates of these two people like are kind of like Trump, Donald J. Trump, and Elon Musk, who a lot of people say like has clung to the Tesla sort of legacy. Yeah. That they run parallel in like feud and that it sort of is still continuing on. Like that's too new. Whoa. Like that's too complicated. But I think it's really interesting.
I wonder if Elon Musk had to buy the name Tesla for Tesla.
I don't know how that works.
I'm sure Nikola Tesla is like,
I don't know,
family owned. I don't know.
My question is like, why have a book planted?
I mean, I don't know.
I'm for curious. Fun? No, I'm asking for conversation.
Yeah, for fun. Like,
or to be like, it could be an experiment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like, oh, we know that Trump has relations with Russia. And how far back did they plant it? You know, 2016? Mm. None of this really, no one was talking about this till 2017. Trump takes office 2016. Mm. Barron wasn't alive until what, 2012? Like, he's not old. He's probably 15, 14, 13. I don't know.
I don't know how old he is.
I just think it's like, maybe they're doing it for like fun little Easter eggs to see. But like, if you were a time traveler, like, wouldn't you want to like put these little tiny little things around to be like, I wonder if anybody will notice?
Ooh,
this?
What if they're like,
like Taylor Swift?
What if it's or here's an even crazier out there theory? What if it's like when you have to mark trees when you're on like a hike?
Oh,
what if they're like
marking in time,
like some sort
to
of
get back?
Yes,
to like get back. Leaving breadcrumbs, like Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah,
maybe.
And that's one of them.
I'm into this.
There's something there. There's really weird. There.
It's bizarre.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to read that book. Let's and like get really it. Pull all of the.
Wow. I'll order one. It's in the Library of Congress.
Oh, wow. Yes. I'm sure it's not on an audiobook.
I'm telling you, so many new wrinkles in my brain. I don't think it is.
No, that, I know it's not. If it's from 1903,
if it's
1888,
if, 1803.
If nothing else, that is a very.
Where did I just get that?
It's okay. Your brain you made it up.
If nothing else, that is a very long and crazy list of coincidences.
You like that?
Yeah.
I love a coincidence.
That's crazy.
Felt good.
Wow. Mm,
felt really good.
A little quinky dink.
In this nice organized document.
I love it.
I spent all morning
making.
I love
the bullets. That was honestly captivating.
Felt good.
Captivating.
Wow.
All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to hear about the things that make you people cringe.
And naughty.
And naughty.
Today, I wanted to talk about cringe.
Okay. We're starting off cringe confessions.
I can't wait.
Now, we asked you, our lovely listeners, to send in either moments that you have had of yourself that keep you up at night because they're so fucking cringy. Mm. We all have had one. Or if you just see something out like in the wild or on TikTok or something that's just so cringe, you get secondhand embarrassment. Like, we're here to like really...
Let's get it.
Hear what makes you...
cringe.
Just have goosies, you know?
Yeah.
And if you want to send us in, you can send it to our phone number, which is easy. But you can also just send us a voice note on our Instagram DM, which I think is even easier.
You want the phone number?
Sure.
818-446-6889.
Or again, you can just send us a DM.
Is it 818?
Yeah. One of our firsties tried to call us, by the way.
I love that.
Yeah.
We love a call.
But she didn't leave a voice message. Okay, I haven't listened to these, so we're going to go.
We're going in cold.
We're going in cold. Ready? The first one comes from Suzanne.
Suzanne from the UK, and my life is just one big cringe. One time I was at work, I walked the full office floor, got in the toilet, and realised the back of my pants was split in my... arse was hanging out.
No.
Another time I went to work, I had on one patterned leather shoe and one matte shoe.
That's cool. Trendsetting.
And another time I was on the bus, I'd had a full day at work, was getting off, had the trousers on that I'd worn the previous day. Scruffy, I know. Looked down and my knickers from the previous day had been hanging out of my trouser leg all day long.
Been there.
Which love.
Static cling is a bitch.
Okay, we need to talk about them one by one.
First off,
what?
All encompassing. Yeah. You are a fashion icon. You are doing things that no one else is doing.
Also, just
see
a voice actor. Like, she's got a sexy voice.
I know, I love her voice. But yes, fashion icon. All these things are like fashion mishaps that you could be a trendsetter.
I will tell you right now.
People in LA would pay for this.
I guarantee you, all three of these looks have been featured on a runway at some point.
For sure. Especially now.
Split pants.
Yep.
You split your pants recently.
Sure, I did.
And I bought you a new pair that you're wearing right now.
Well, that's just wear and tear because I got thunder thighs. But
oh, you get the chub rub.
I did when I got my tux back for the wedding and I tried it on the first time. I sat down and both seams on both sides on the inside of the legs exploded.
Did you gain weight since then?
No, it was just he'd.
Was it pressure?
It made me feel horrible, right? So I go back to the table. I'm like, dude, what the fuck? And he was like, oh, I forgot to finish the top stitch. So they were just like, stitch hadn't been looped. It wasn't done. And so when I sat
down.
Thank
God it didn't happen at the wedding.
Thank God I didn't fly.
No, he just had like randomly like try. He tried them on and it was great. And then he's like, oh, maybe I'll try to put on my shoes with it to get like the full look. And that's when it happened when he sat down.
Like exploded.
That's devastating.
Yeah, it was crazy.
It would have been so good if it happened at the wedding though.
It was so funny. No.
Okay, so splitting your pants, icon.
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 Really, I love a mismatched shoe. I don't know why I haven't tried this ever because it seems like a thing that I would do.
They need to be the right mismatched shoes.
Well, they also have to be like the same height.
They need to be like loud.
Yeah, but like there are a few pairs of boots that I have, multiple pairs of the same boot. And I'm like, that's something that I could do.
You should try it.
Like wear like a red and a black together.
Try it. Very Spice Girls.
Very Spice Girls. But I love that. And then also the static cling thing. I used to do hot yoga and my like towel that I would use is one of those like microfiber, very clingy ones. Mm. My underwear would get stuck on those all of the time.
Really?
And I had not, like until I'm like in the yoga class rolling out my towel.
I would think I'd look really hot in like a blazer or something, and there would be like a dryer sheet on me. So not underwear, but I've made it to like a meeting with like a dryer sheet on the back of me with no idea.
It's happened to me at least once where I put on a pair of pants and I'm like walking somewhere and I feel something coming out the bottom of them, and it's one of Jack's underwear.
Yeah, they're so light.
It's so you never forget me.
Yep, it's a plant.
I love you.
Love you.
All right, well, that was pretty cringy.
Oh my God, we'll have more time next time. We'll do more cringe
stories.
I love ending on a cringe. This is fun.
Me too. I'm uncomfortable in a good way.
Feel good about ourselves.
Yep.
All right, see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.